Welcome back to another episode of Queerly High Valley. I'm your host, Robin Gao. I use any pronouns, and I'm joined today with Shiloh. I'm super excited to dive in a little bit to talking about non-binary community in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. So do you want to introduce yourself a little bit, Shiloh?
Yeah, sure. I would love to. My name is Shiloh. I use they, them pronouns, and I've been an educator here in the Valley for basically my whole adult life.
That's amazing. What's your experience been just coming into your identity as a non-binary person? Not a small question at all to get started with.
No, it's a great question though. It's something that I've, been on my mind ever since I was probably 5 years old. And I recall kind of more specifically, getting older and being in public education and feeling like there's something different about me. I want to express that. And I was in the closet though for many years because of being in public education. And I recall speaking to a student once, and they asked me, "Oh, you help out with basically the Gay Straight Alliance here. Are you only an ally?" And that was kind of something that was a wake up call for me in a way, because this young person was asking me not out of like, "Oh, I want to kind of know your personal life." It was rather that they just wanted to kind of have like a connection to an adult in their life in that particular way. And so I realized that I can't stay in the closet, to stay safe. I needed to be out in order to kind of, better connect to my community, be more myself, and, show a positive role model to young people who are going through similar things. So, after that, I kind of kicked that into gear. And it was difficult though, because at the time that I was coming out, I was the only non-binary person I knew, which feels very strange right now, because I feel like, the vast majority of my friends are like non-binary and trans. So it's been really wonderful that, since that time, I've really kind of come into my own when it comes to community, and we can delve deeper into that, with more specifics. But yeah.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I love hearing you reflect a little bit about like those moments that maybe you felt like called into being able to share that. And it is really powerful to be able to hold that space for like young people. I definitely know that I felt that in some of my roles. I haven't worked in the exact same spaces, but doing any education with youth. You mentioned a little bit about how it was like a little bit difficult, or it felt hard to come out in like a public education sphere. Can you talk a little bit more about that, just for people who might not be super familiar with anything you're comfortable with sharing? You don't have to go into huge details. I'm just curious about like what about that setting made it difficult.
Yeah, no, it was difficult because of what the political atmosphere has kind of been.
I see, yeah.
About queer people, and especially in education roles. This was a few years ago at this point, but this was kind of around the time of like the infamous like libs of TikTok kind of.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and so it felt very scary to be a gender non-conforming educator.
Yeah.
Especially since, we also live in an area that has liberal pockets, but it's not, I would say, exclusively liberal for sure. So it felt a little bit like a sword of Damocles, that the wrong parent was going to hear about my pronouns and that I would get a talking to. Luckily, that was not something that happened. And, most of the educators that I work with were very lovely and supportive. My, principal and assistant principal at the time were very supportive. And, it's in fact very cute, because I've had a lot of students be supportive as well. I mean, some not so much. I'm sure you're shocked to hear middle schoolers
yes.
are most
yes.
woke. But I do recall a particular incident once where I just introduced myself with my pronouns, not a huge intro, just like, "Hi, I'm mixed seater and I use they, them pronouns." And a kid kind of in the back of the room just kind of shouts out, "I support you."
Aw, that's very sweet.
Exactly.
Kids can be very kind. I've definitely had similar experiences. And just to catch the audience up in case they're not familiar with, you mentioned the account Libs of TikTok. Just so people are like aware of what that is, that account would sometimes dox people, especially educators who are LGBTQ plus people, sharing like images and videos of people without their permission. And unfortunately, like usually doing things that are like just normal people things, but kind of doing some misinformation and just not kind things. So I could definitely understand how like an environment where people are getting doxxed for like doing a very mundane job at the end of the day. You know, it could be a scary environment, but I'm glad that you had mostly like chill experiences. But yeah, working with middle schoolers is always you know, they can be very kind, and then also I feel like that's the first time people are learning about like how can I push people's buttons and stuff like that. So,
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of boundary pushing when you're at that age, which is a natural part of, becoming an adult, but can also be a little bit tedious for those who are helping them along the way.
for the adults involved. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that part of your experience. This question might be strange, but I'm curious what kind of labels resonate with you as a non-binary person? I'm curious about this because the term non-binary is often like an umbrella, so sometimes people have additional things that you just like connect to.
No, it's interesting because I feel like it's weird that sometimes I feel like trans is kind of something that I'll resonate with, but I also, in classic queer fashion, feel like, oh, am I trans enough to consider myself trans? Non-binary, I feel like, is the best label. Sometimes I'll say gender non-conforming. I'll also occasionally say trans mask because I kind of lean a little bit in that direction, but I would not consider myself a trans man.
Yeah, it's definitely really hard to put language to like our very fluid human experiences, but I appreciate you like sharing a little bit about like how you've used words to kind of share your identity and stuff like that. So, who has helped shape your understanding of non-binary identities? It could be people from history, books you've read, people in your own life. I always feel like I'm learning most from like actual people who I know. But you know, we always have a variety of influences.
No, definitely. For me, I feel like, God, there's so much out there, to be honest. I hate to say it, I feel like kind of the beginning of my journey would be kind of the queer men in my life, the cis male, but like maybe a little bit femme, a little bit more, eccentric, what I mean, if you will, and their presentation is kind of, I think, where I originally got started. Because I feel as if when, a female family member would tell me to wear a dress, would tell me to dress more feminine or to style myself more feminine, that, I was very much like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't like listening to that particular stuff because it felt like it was expected. When I kind of encountered, trans femmes, femme presenting men that we're choosing to be feminine, it kind of like opened up a bit of a door for me that, femininity can be something that you choose freely rather than something that is imposed upon you. So that's definitely something that I kind of, always, resonated and felt, connected to. Gender comes from all sorts of places. Sometimes I think about certain things my dad was interested in that kind of connected with me, like bandanas and mints and the shoe polish and the tie I had, But when it comes to like non-binary people, man, because I didn't really know a ton of non-binary people in person, but I think certain kind of like actors who are gender non-conforming and that kind of thing were interesting. And for whatever reason, I cannot come up with a name from when I first came out. I know certainly now I find inspiration in folks like Janelle Monáe and Mason Park Alexander and just a myriad of, of out non-binary folks, Sam Smith. I think kind of where, it really kind of started was just like gender non-conforming cis people, queer men, sometimes more butch presenting women. Just that play there kind of helped open me up to the the variety of gender and how fun it can be and how it doesn't have to be automatic. It can be chosen.
I love that. I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think that I feel like we're probably like similar ages. Like growing up, also, there's not a lot of, I mean, I feel like non-binary as a term and like as a category, there have always been like not people who existed outside of strictly man and woman, but like the actual label itself is like a fairly recent label to try to understand that experience. And so there are people who like might have identified with that, but like didn't have that label. And so you might just connect to somebody like, I mean, and I'm not going to label people from history as 100% non-binary, but there's lots of like non-conforming figures, like you mentioned, who like I definitely think of too. Not so much gender non-conforming, but I was connected to like punk rock guys because like there is a little bit of like gender play there, like a lot of times using eyeliner or painting your nails. And I think that that was for me like similar to what you're describing of like there are ways to play with gender presentation and there are also ways to connect with femininity that aren't, like you said, like that imposed way that felt forced for me and sounds similar to like what felt for you. But there's a way back into some of those qualities that you enjoy.
Absolutely.
I always feel like for me, like the people who I look up to or who have helped shape like my identity are always evolving. Like I said, like I really feel like I learned the most from like people who I'm hanging out or around. Honestly, like a lot of people from Eastern PA Trans Equity Project. And we'll get a little bit more into that in a few minutes, but yeah, so I'll just have one more question until we have like a short commercial break. I hope that this might be easier, but it's what do you love most about being non-binary? If you don't love anything, that's also okay. You could pick a different adjective, but I assume just knowing you that you probably love something.
Oh yeah. No. I coming out as non-binary has been, I think, one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. And man, we'll be here for 2 hours if I list all the things I enjoy. Also, I think, you know what I mean, to present your way in a way that you don't feel like you have to, that you can pick and choose from masculine and feminine, that you can break rules if you want to. It is so freeing. It's so exciting. Since I came out, it was the first time I actually started dressing myself in a way that was more intentional. And it's been so much fun some days, not every day. Dysphoria does hit, like anybody, like for any, person of the trans umbrella, but it's been really joyful. But I think probably my all-time favorite thing about it, which I think wraps in our theme very well, is the community of it, is the people that I've met through this have just been so incredible and inspiring and wonderful. And, I really kind of struggled with isolating myself for a long time. And I feel as if this coming out as non-binary has really opened the door, not just in me feeling like I can be out and be myself, but also the people whom I've met and I can be free myself around.
Oh yeah, I love that. I definitely relate too. I think for myself, like I think when I first came out, identity was very personal, but now it feels very community oriented because when I think about myself as a queer person, I think of like first and foremost, like the communities that I'm part of, and the people who I feel connected to because of our shared experience. So I love all your reflections. And yes, I echo some of the same things that you said. Like, I definitely think that notion of like the freedness, and ability to be playful with our genders, which a lot of us like don't always get an opportunity to. I like to be the person who's like, you know, whatever gender you are, you should dress how you want to and express yourself how you want to. So awesome. Well, we'll come back after a short break, and we'll be back to talk about the work that you're doing, Shiloh, in the community and non-binary community in the Lehigh Valley in general. See you soon.
WDIY News engages the local community through accurate, unbiased reporting from many sources with volunteer real voices. Listen to WDIY News weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. and 4 to 6 p.m. and weekends from 8 to 10 a.m. WDIY News, available live on 88.1 FM and online at wdiy.org.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Queerly High Valley. I'm your host, Robin, here with Shiloh, and we're talking about building non-binary community in the Lehigh Valley. So, jumping right back in, the first question I have for you is, how have you found community as a non-binary person in the valley?
I will say, I think one of the big things was I went to the Beyond the Binary support group, which the Eastern PA Trans Equity Project was running. And, from that first meeting, it was COVID time, so we were all remote. Even then, just I felt so instantly just connected and excited about this. And, I wanted to do more. And very quickly, I was able to kind of help out the person who was facilitating then. I was able to be a co-facilitator, and they had to move on, and so I was able to kind of come in. And I do co-facilitate with another individual as well, but that has been really a big part of it and something I really enjoy. Though I will say the one surprising thing to me about finding non-binary community, which I find very charming, is that when people discover that I'm non-binary, when I came out, some friends of mine who I did not realize were experiencing, these thoughts of gender came out to me, which has been really wonderful, and there was even a case where I was playing a tabletop role-playing game with someone who was like a friend of a friend, and I noticed they kept playing non-binary characters, which, I've been there, honey. It's okay. So I remember reaching out to them one time being like, hey, I'm non-binary. You play a lot of non-binary characters. If there's ever gender stuff you want to talk about, please let me know. And then I felt very nervous for a while because this was, it was a new friend group, cis men. You always kind of have to, sometimes I
Yeah,
hate to
you
say,
don't know sometimes.
you tread carefully. But yeah, they messaged me back saying, yeah, I've been thinking about it for a long time, and now we've connected over that. They came to one of the non-binary meetings, even though they don't live very close by. And so it's been really wonderful that even just being non-binary and openly with that, people will sometimes just kind of flock to you a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think that like when someone shares their identity, like you create an opening for other people who have wanted to, but maybe been like, I don't know anyone. And it's hard to scary to be the one of the first in like an immediate friend group, but like I feel like you break the seal and then I do feel like we flock together even if we're not completely aware of it. 'Cause I've had a similar phenomenon with like people who I grew up with who a lot of us were either semi out or not completely out in like high school. Like a lot of people in that friend group are now queer in some way or non-binary, and I'm like, we knew each other. It's really interesting too. You mentioned like tabletop games. There's some actual like sociological research on like Dungeons and Dragons specifically being a space where people explore gender identity. Because I had the same thing. Like I played non-binary characters as a way to like, because it's a really clear space to test it out. I mean, you get to role play as that character, and it also is safe because it's a character. So like, you can you can have a way out when you're not ready to like share that yet. But that's so fun that that was part of your experience too in that way. I love that. So you talked a little bit about the Beyond the Binary group, and you talked about how you got started into it. What made you want to be a facilitator? Knowing you as a person, you're like, I feel like you're pretty natural in like a leader teacher role. But what specifically about that group made you like interested in helping shape those conversations?
Thank you. It's very sweet of you to say that. I seem like a natural. But yeah, no, I mean, before I'd even start facilitating that, I was facilitating kind of discussion groups at, when I was helping run a gay straight alliance at a middle school. So it seemed kind of like natural, like, oh, I already have experience doing this. And to me, I so much enjoyed the groups, and I think there is kind of a parenting impulse in me a little bit. I'm not a parent myself of small children, but there is an instinct in me to kind of, help other people, take other people under my wings. And, I guess a part of me, even though I wouldn't consider myself very old, sometimes feels like an old non-binary because many of the people that I meet who are
Oh
non-binary are younger than me, so.
no, I super get that. I'm not very old, but I often am the oldest in a
No.
non-binary space sometimes. But I'm sh sure that people really benefit from having that like comfort. I know that a lot of people when they're first coming out like first come to these groups, and so I'm sure it's like a really important like landing space for people to find. What is the group generally like for people who haven't maybe been in like a community kind of care discussion space before?
No, I mean, more or less, I don't think it's structured very differently from other support groups. You show, you all sit down, the rules are explained. I like to do like a little like introduce yourself, your pronouns, and an icebreaker question. I've done things like, oh, what's your favorite sweet treat? What's your favorite thing about summer? Some nice lighthearted stuff. I've done other things like, oh, the classic thorn versus rose, share something good that's happened to you recently, say something that's troubled you recently. But I feel like gender is such a large and expansive topic. It's rarely difficult for the conversation to peter out. One thing that I really enjoy about the non-binary groups is I feel like they are extremely diverse, not just in a gender presentations, but like, one thing that I always kind of enjoyed is that we have, a lot of different age ranges. So some people come to the group and they don't identify as non-binary. They prefer to call themselves cross-dressers, because that was an older generation way of reversing gender stuff that was imposed on folks. And so, it's very interesting to kind of have all of that under one umbrella. And, I think there's also this weird stereotype that, it's usually like assigned female at birth people who identify as non-binary, but we have a great population of folks who, come at it from the other direction. But yeah, I will say that, some people come there and I think like any support group, they're just there to absorb that they don't really feel like sharing much, And I think that's wonderful. I always try to make sure that they have the space. You know what I mean? I'd be like, oh, hey, well, what do you think? But if they don't want to talk, I think that's fine because it's a nerve-wracking thing too, as well, to be out and be open. And some people are very closeted and are just dipping their toe in. It might not even be for them, but it always makes me happy to see people there, even if they don't say anything. So.
Yeah, and some people might just like need a few like meetings to feel like okay, now I'm ready to like jump in. But that's really nice to be able to provide that space and that flexibility to, participate however you want to. It's really cool that there's so much diversity in terms of the different identities and stuff that attend that group. That does make a lot of sense because non-binary, like I mentioned when I asked you about labels, like it's a really huge category and language is always shifting in the queer community and like has for hundreds of years. So like sometimes people think it's like, oh, people are making up new identities. And it's like, no, people have just like always tried to put language to really hard experiences. Hard as in hard to describe, but like but that's really cool. Is there anything that you feel like you might like learn or gain from being able to, have discussions with people from that kind of variety of experiences or anything that like you personally maybe have like gained from that?
Yeah, there's, I mean, one of the, I hate to say it, I'd like to pretend that I do this out of the goodness of my heart, but I do really get a lot out of it personally from the people that I meet that they say. I mean, one of the most beautiful things I think I've ever heard when it comes to gender was I remember there was a trans feminine person who came by to the group the one time, and she was talking about when she, first settled into her hormone replacement therapy on estrogen. And said that it felt like it really just opened up her mind and that she finally felt comfortable in her own brain for the first time in her life. And I thought that was just like so incredible and so beautiful. And, because I feel like that's even if people don't necessarily come to it from that direction, to strive to feel comfortable, not just in your own body, but in your own mind, is just the is beautiful, and seeing so many people try in many different directions to kind of get there and to support each other along the way. I mean, I'm also feel so grateful for the fact that the non-binary group that I run, I think naturally because of the folks who are the, the people who are the chattiest, and I think probably a little my influence too, is that it stays pretty lighthearted for the most part. Not that, I haven't, broken down in tears on certain subjects, but there's a lot of joking, there's a lot of playfulness in our group. You know what I mean? Because I think that helps balance out some of the harsher subjects that we also have. So it's, I get so much out of it. I'm always nervous going into them, which I think is normal. It feels like a lot of responsibility. It feels heavy. It's just like, what if somebody's in crisis? I'm certified to like take care of somebody in a steep mental crisis, but I always come walking away from these feeling really wonderful and refreshed, and just pleased with the community and what we're all doing, and are all of us striving to be ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. That makes a lot of sense too. I mean, I also have facilitated some groups, so like there is like always like a little nervousness being the navigator of the conversation. Like, what if nobody has anything to say, and then it's fine, you know? Yeah,
100%.
for sure. Just so people have some more details about Beyond the Binary, how can people join, and when do you meet?
Okay, yeah, no, we meet the second Saturdays of every month. I think it's officially starts at 7 p.m. I always get there way earlier than that because I'm helping run things, but I think it officially starts at 7 p.m. on those days. But yeah, no, I think a simple, Google of Eastern PA Trans Equity Project, you know what I mean, will get you the site that you need. I think it's also under the umbrella of Renaissance Lehigh Valley. It's easy to find the address if you're looking for it. So yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all that. And then just like one more wrap-up question for you. This is also a big one, so I'm sorry. But what
Okay.
are like some of your dreams for like what you imagine like the future of non-binary community in the Lehigh Valley to look like?
Oh goodness. Wow. Yeah, that is a big one. I just, I suppose there's a part of me that kind of hopes that there's just more of a general, I think it's, I hate to say it mostly comes down to kind of how we politically view these situations. And, non-binary identity has been so highly politicized. And not that obviously, it's important to kind of do what you think is best politically with your identity, but that it shouldn't be so automatic.
Interesting.
And so I would kind of hope that in the future that, obviously folks who are non-binary and want to be political can continue to do so, but that it's not so automatic, that folks do not have to fight about having, their pronouns in their email signature, which is, a thing that I had to encounter at one point. That working with like young people and that kind of thing, that I think our language around young people who are gender non-conforming is, again, overly politicized. Some people have tried to tell me like, well, what if they find out they're not non-binary or if they're not trans? And I'm like, great.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, if they, a couple months down the line, that's no longer what works for them, that's fantastic. That's obviously why that any kind of more serious body alteration things kind of comes with a big time frame, But, if a kid wants to like cut off their hair and dress differently and present themselves differently for a couple months and finds out that doesn't work for them on the long term, that's awesome. You should give them the space to play instead of, making them feel bad for like, well, you didn't commit to the bit, so I guess this identity is not real. It's ridiculous, especially at that age, if kids want to dress all in black, you know what I mean? They don't think, oh, well, you didn't turn out to be a goth, so, I guess goth's not real. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure. In general, people just deserve a lot more space to play, and at all ages, kids especially. But I always say that like if cisgender people can learn anything from trans and non-binary people, it's like you should explore your gender a little and question if you like what you're doing with it. So that
Totally.
is all of our time. This has been really lovely to chat about non-binary community in the Lehigh Valley. Thank you so much for all the work that you do, Shiloh. And I hope that any non-binary folks listening might consider joining Beyond the Binary because it's a really fun group.
It is a really fun group, and thank you so much for all the work that you're doing as well, Robin.
This has been Clearly High Valley.